You're listening to the Legally Balanced Podcast, episode 17. Welcome to the Legally Balanced Podcast. I'm Ari Alvarez, a partner at an Am Law 100 firm. As a diverse attorney, I have faced unique experiences in my career development journey. Now, I want to share what I have learned with you. Every week on Legally Balanced, I'll share practical career advice to tip the scale in favor of diverse attorneys, and I will do it in bite-sized bits, perfect for your busy life. This is the Legally Balanced Podcast. Hi there. Thank you for joining me today. This is the third episode of our series on the path to partnership. And in this episode, we will talk about the quantitative factors that firms often consider when they are evaluating a candidate for a promotion. These are the objective factors that most firms look at when they are evaluating attorneys. These are the elements that can somehow be measured. And I'm pretty sure that most of you are extremely familiar with these factors. These are, for example, the service requirements imposed by firms, which oftentimes serve as sort of threshold markers for considering candidates. They are also the lawyer's billable hours, their collections, their realization rates. They are the credits for non-billable work, and the credits for administrative responsibilities or for other contributions to the firm. These are other numeric factors that the firms normally consider when they are evaluating attorneys. And you may be used to seeing these, for example, in your KPI reports or in other reports that your firm provides you where they track your productivity. So let's address these today in a little bit more detail and discuss how they factor into the evaluation of a candidate for partner.
Introducing the brand new QuadPod podcast network. At QuadPod, we have a variety of podcasts that are as unique as you. When you visit quadpod.com, you'll see our shows listed by category as well as average episode length. Find a new podcast at QODPOD.com, the QuadPod Podcast Network. That's QODPOD.com.
Hi again. Let's start tackling today's topic by addressing what I call the threshold requirements to be considered for partnership. These are the service requirements that firms often apply to candidates for promotion. And by service requirements, I mean the minimum number of years out of law school or years within the firm that are required in order to promote a candidate. Most firms will only consider attorneys for partnership who have practiced a minimum number of years, which is usually 8 to 10 years, and who have worked for that specific firm for a certain number of years, usually 2 to 3. So when you are putting together your partnership plan, the first thing that you have to find out is whether your firm has any of these service requirements, and if so, whether you satisfy them. But even though determining years of service seems kind of straightforward, it can be a little bit tricky when the candidate has a work trajectory that has not been linear, or when their work trajectory has not been traditional. And this is because firms sometimes make adjustments that apply in these situations and might not credit all of the years of service in multiple circumstances. And one example of this is when the attorney did not practice law straight out of law school. This may happen, for example, when they decide to clerk after law school or to get an LLM. Many firms credit 1 year, maybe two, but if the attorney spent a whole lot of years clerking with a judge or getting additional degrees, it is possible that they are not going to get credit for all of those years. The same might happen if the attorney landed a non-legal job after they graduated from law school. Maybe they took an executive position at a corporation after law school, or they worked for a nonprofit. They might not get credit for all of the years that they worked in those roles. Or maybe they did get a legal job, but it was in a practice area different from the one in which they are practicing at the time that they are seeking the promotion. For example, if a corporate firm hires an attorney who has been practicing family law for many years, and that corporate firm does not have a family law practice and family law is not relevant to their practice, then it is possible that that firm will not credit all of the years of service that the lawyer had practicing family law. Other common deviations to the normal service requirements are, for example, when there is a merger of two firms. And in those cases, attorneys from the acquired firm will likely be given full credit for the years that they worked with that firm when they apply for partnership in the surviving firm. Attorneys often also get full credit for the time that they are on maternity leave, on FMLA, or on other leaves. And there may be other factors that could affect the way in which a firm determines the years of service that they will credit. So if you are being considered for a promotion, you should start by finding out what these requirements are and how they apply to you. Besides the threshold requirements, firms will usually consider other quantitative criteria to determine if someone is eligible for a promotion. Something I have said more than once in this podcast is that law firms are businesses. So if you want to make partner, you need to be constantly thinking about making the business case for your promotion. And this means that you have to make economic sense for the firm. And in determining this, the law firm will likely look at whether you have met your billable hour requirements. They will also look at the amount of money actually collected on your billable hours, because this is the actual cash that's coming in the door for the hours that you have worked. Firms will also look at whether there have been significant hours or dollars that have been written off. So at the time that your candidacy is being evaluated, your firm will likely pull your financial metrics, and they will likely use a look-back period, which oftentimes is 3 years. They will likely be looking at the past 3 years of data. So let's take a little bit of a deeper look into these financial factors. The first one of these is billable hours. And making your billable hours is an important step in order to position yourself well in your partnership process. As a general rule, law firms find it harder to promote attorneys who consistently miss their billable hour requirements and often promote attorneys who significantly exceed their required numbers. But having said that, you need to get a sense of your specific firm's sensitivity with respect to not meeting billable hour requirements. In some firms, not meeting these requirements will guarantee that you will not even be considered for a promotion. In other firms, it might not be fatal, but it could be a disadvantage. In other firms, making your budget might not be as important of a factor. So you should figure out what your firm's approach is on this topic and make sure that your promotion plan addresses it accordingly. And this may include creating a plan to get more work if your billable hours are low and you know that billable hours are a very important factor in your firm. When examining your firm's billable hour practices, you should determine whether there are any other hours that could be credited. For example, any pro bono hours or any administrative hours that, per your firm's policy, receive billable hour credit. Many firms want to encourage their attorneys to take on pro bono work, or they want to encourage them to participate in firm activities and to make other administrative contributions to the firm. And so they will provide some billable hour credit for this type of work. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that there is usually a cap on the number of these hours that are credited. So if, for example, your firm credits up to 100 hours of pro bono or creditable administrative work, then unless it is absolutely necessary, you should try not to spend too much more time on these types of matters than whatever is going to be credited by your firm. So let's talk a little bit now about collections on time. The collections on your time are the dollars that are actually landing in your firm's bank account. And the importance of this metric is huge. Two attorneys may bill the same number of hours at the same rate, but if one collects most of what they bill and the other one does not, the one with the higher collections has an advantage. So you should monitor not only how much you bill, but how much of that is actually collected. If you see a big gap between the value of your billable hours and what is actually billed or what is eventually collected, then you should analyze the reason for that difference. And there could be many reasons for this. Maybe you are working for clients who have discounted rates or fixed fees. Maybe the billing partners are writing off some of your time. And in this case, you should figure out why. If you are doing a lot of work for clients who have fixed fees or discounted fees, you may want to diversify a bit and try to get staffed on matters where clients are actually paying full rate. And if a lot of your time is being written off, you should consider speaking with the partner who wrote off your time to learn why this is happening. You may want to fix whatever issues are causing these write-offs. And any strategy that you develop to handle this should be a part of your plan. Other metrics that firms consider are originations and collections on originations. If you have a few years under your belt as a lawyer, you likely brought in some work to your firm and are likely responsible for billing and collecting on those matters. And as you surely know, firms give a lot of weight to a lawyer's originations in many different scenarios. One of them, of course, is for purposes of compensation, but it is also very important for purposes of promotion. Your originations show that you have the ability to bring work to the firm, which goes to the firm's bottom line. But besides bringing in the work, you also need to be on top of your collections, because significant uncollected amounts on matters in which you are the billing attorney or where you appear as the originator can be a red flag when you are evaluated for partnership. So you have to make sure that you're on top of your collections and that you address any issues that are causing some of your originations not to be collected. So these are some of the most common metrics that firms consider when promoting lawyers, but they are not all of them. As I've mentioned before, you should become familiar with whatever it is that applies at your firm. So you should become familiar with your firm's metrics, and you're going to get an insight as to what's important at your firm from your KPI reports or from any other reports that the firm is providing you periodically to track your progress. Whatever it is that they're tracking is likely what is important to them. So figure out what is important to them and make sure that you develop a plan that allows you to comply with whatever requirements they have in place. So thank you so much for listening today. I hope this has been helpful to you. Make sure to check out our show notes for a downloadable worksheet that you can use to work through what we have discussed today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Legally Balanced Podcast. For additional information on how to boost your career and to download our show notes and other resources, visit us at podcast.legallybalanced.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Legally Balanced and on Instagram at Legally Balanced LLC, or join our LinkedIn group, Career Development for Lawyers.